Thank you, Susan. That's awesome. Okay, guys, morning. Susan, do you mind taking... I don't want to drop your iPad by accident. That would be bad. So, guys, morning, welcome. It's really good to be here on our second week. For those of you that weren't here last week, we're doing a series this summer called the Holy Spirit Summer. And Dave and I spoke last week. We're speaking again today on the subject, Think You Know the Holy Spirit. So last week, we were looking at who is the Holy Spirit and what's he like. So we looked at kind of three key points. We looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit is personal, that he is a he, not an it. It's easy to sometimes think of the Holy Spirit like a force or a presence, but actually he's a person and he wants to have a personal relationship with us. We also looked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is God and therefore he's like God. So you might not feel like you know the Holy Spirit very well, but actually if you know Jesus and if you know God the Father, then they're all one, they're all the same, they all have the same personality characteristics. Obviously there's differences too, but if you know Jesus and you know the Father, then you know the Holy Spirit. And then we looked at about the fact that the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father, the fact that God the Father promised the Holy Spirit to his people hundreds of years before he came. And the exciting fact that we live in the best time of history, the time that the people of God looked forward to for years, the time when God's Spirit is not just with us and on us, but his Spirit can live in us. So that's just a little praise from last week. This week, we're going to be focusing more on what the Holy Spirit does. And we're going to be looking at three main questions. We're going to be looking at, what does the Holy Spirit do in me? What does the Holy Spirit do through me? And what does the Holy Spirit do around me?
I should have done like an interpretive thing. In me, through me, and around me. Okay, so before we do that, a little icebreaker. You've got me this week. Last week, Ruth made you all get up and walk and move. I'm going to be a little nicer to you. I want us to be thinking about some of the good things that the Holy Spirit does that we might not always be aware of. I want to start by telling you about some good things that some famous people have done that you might not be aware of. We'll start with Zach Galifianakis. Mark can correct me if that's wrong. He's an actor. He's famous. He's rich. Did you know that that lady there was homeless? He'd met her when he was an 18-year-old. He found out recently that she was homeless and decided to buy her an apartment and invite her to the premiere of his latest movie, which I think is a pretty nice thing to do. There we are, Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean. Did you know that Rowan Atkinson was in a plane with his family and a few others, and the pilot fainted? Rowan Atkinson had to grab the steering wheel and whatever else you grab. Good, that was awful, wasn't it? The thing, the instruments. Thanks for that. And he had to safely guide the plane into land, rescuing himself and his family, which is a pretty good thing to do, although pretty necessary as well. Johnny Depp, Captain Sparrow. Johnny Depp sometimes carries around his Captain Sparrow outfit to go and visit children in hospitals, which is a pretty cool thing to do. So he has been spotted, including in, yeah, it's freaking children out. Ah! Oh, no. They've gone into shock. No, it doesn't happen. He's a good guy. And, of course, probably most famously, the Pope. The Pope has been known, or it has been rumoured, that he sneaks out of the Vatican at night, dressed up as an ordinary priest, to go and give money to homeless people. So there you are. If you go and pretend to be homeless on the streets of Rome, you might just meet the Pope. So those are just some of the things, good things that famous people have done. Now, there's lots of really important things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, and maybe we're either unaware of it or it's just easy to take it for granted, and we want to explore some of those this morning. Now, first of all, I want to hit something off straight away, which is knocking down a common misconception that being Holy Spirit focused means not having your feet on the ground. Have you ever heard the expression, they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good? Anyone heard that expression? And the retort might be, well, they're so earthly focused, they're of no heavenly use, or whatever. And you can sometimes feel like it's almost like a bit of a camp. You've got really spiritual people over here, and I'm sure some of us will flag the people in our church we think are like that, and really practical people over here. And I would probably, if I had to be pushed, put myself in that camp. But I want to really knock that down and say to you, the Holy Spirit is practical. The Holy Spirit is practical. And I want us to remove any sort of idea we have of, okay, Holy Spirit over there, super spiritual, over there, practical, getting on with the good stuff of God. Holy Spirit is practical. Have you ever thought any of these things? Where can I find the motivation to love my husband or wife or partner when it's hard work? Where can I find the wisdom to make a difficult decision at work when there's no clear biblical answer? How can I really know the love of God in my life beyond just a set of truths? How am I ever going to open my mouth and share my faith with my friends? Did you know the Holy Spirit is the answer to all of those questions? In fact, I would go as far as say the Holy Spirit is the ultimate Swiss Army knife. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes with us and walks with us every day, giving us the tools that we need to live out the life. So just keep that picture in mind. It's practical. And also for you ladies, just want to throw that in there. Didn't want to feel like I was being discriminatory. Although, I'd probably have about as much use for that as I would for that, but anyway.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dave. So for me and Dave, we've had quite a big job, because if you look at those pictures of those Swiss Army knives, you can see that there are like hundreds of different things. And it's been the same when we've been looking into this whole subject of the Holy Spirit. There are so many incredible things that the Holy Spirit does in us and through us and with us. So obviously we've just chosen today the few that we felt like God's put on our hearts to share with you guys. But I would encourage you, as we're doing this series over the summer, just be reading your Bibles, be reading the Gospels and see what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, be reading Paul's letters and see what he's got to say about all the incredible things that the Holy Spirit is involved in. And I think you'll be amazed and surprised, as I've been. So, point number one, what does the Holy Spirit do within us? And the first thing that came to my mind that I feel is really important is the fact that the Holy Spirit reveals the Father's love to us. So it says in Romans 5, verse 5, "For we know how dearly God loves us, because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." And the Holy Spirit is the connection point between us and the Father. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't actually be able to experience the practical reality, the feeling in our hearts, the fact that God loves us. And it's also the Holy Spirit living in us that helps us to know that we're God's children and that we're part of his family. A bit later in Romans, in chapter 8, verse 16, Paul writes, "For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we're God's children." So the Holy Spirit enables us to experience God's love on a practical level and also helps us to know deep down inside that we're God's children. And a bit later in chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, Paul then starts speaking about the fact that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And he says, "We don't even know what we should pray for or how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that can't be expressed in words. And our Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Holy Spirit is saying." And one of the gifts that the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit giving us is the gift of tongues. And there's a lot of different gifts of the Spirit, which me and Dave aren't going to touch in our talks. Most of them are gifts which actually for building up other people, for building up the church, for reaching out, preaching and speaking and evangelism. But the gift of tongues is a gift that is actually to do with our personal relationship with God. And for me personally, being able to speak in tongues is a way which I can really connect with God and feel that he loves me in a really practical way every day. It's also something for me that I was really freaked out about. So I became a Christian, and then it took me 7 years to be able to have the courage, the confidence to even try to speak in tongues for the first time. For me, I just thought, seems really freaky, like I don't get it, I couldn't understand what it was, and I just thought, you know what, I get along fine without it, so why do I need to pursue that? But it was something that just kept on seeming to pop up through my Christian walk and come back again and again. And I kind of wanted it, but wasn't sure about it at the same time. And I'm sure that there are some people here today that are in that position. So I just want to quickly share my testimony of how I first spoke in tongues, just to help you guys. Because I know that I've come from probably the place of the most fear about this whole thing and unwillingness to even try it, right through to a place where I love speaking in tongues. I probably speak in tongues every day as a part of my connection with God on a daily basis and me understanding and feeling his love for me. So if there are some people who are in the same boat as me, I just want to share my story with you, hopefully to help you see, like, if it happened for me, actually, it can happen for anybody. So I basically learned to speak in tongues on my own in bed one night, and I was in Botswana, and the whole subject of speaking in tongues had come up again. I was thinking, oh my goodness, why does God keep bringing this back up? That was in my small group. They were talking about it. And then I basically had this really awesome time in worship in the morning at church. And so I was lying there in bed, and I was feeling like just free and easy and excited about God, the universe, everything, myself. And so I just thought to myself, it's just me and God here, and he doesn't care if I just babble a load of nonsense. We can just laugh about it afterwards. If it doesn't work, it's fine. Like, so I guess for the first time, I felt the freedom to just try it and see what happened. So I just started basically babbling away nonsense to myself. That's what I thought of it like. But after a little while, I found that each time I was going to open my mouth, I basically had in my head like a syllable or one syllable or one sound that was in my head before I opened my mouth. And when I opened my mouth and said that sound, that syllable, whatever was in my head, all the other words kind of just flowed out afterwards without me having to think about it, without me having to try for them to come. And I was amazed. I was like, wow, this is really easy. And actually, I probably spoke in tongues for about 4 hours in the middle of the night in tears. And it was a really incredible experience just of being able to connect with God on a different level than I'd been able to do before, because it was a way in which my heart could connect with his heart without my head getting in the way. And so for me, that's why I find tongues really valuable, because it's all those times when you just don't know what to pray, but you want to connect with God, and it just gives you that immediate connection, and it's a two-way connection. So yeah, for me, it's definitely something that I would encourage you, if that's not something that you've done before, we'll give you an opportunity at the end of the meeting in the response time to come and be prayed for. Maybe just start having a think about it. If you're feeling a little bit nervous right now, that's probably the Holy Spirit saying, that's you, because that used to happen to me all the time. So the Holy Spirit reveals the Father's love to us.
So what else does the Holy Spirit do within us? Well, I'm sure you've been in that place where you think, I need help to work out what the right thing is to do. And when Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit to the disciples, he says, I'm going to send you the paraclete. So the paraclete, that's the Greek word. And it's a bit of a hard one for us to get a single word in English out of, but it basically, the words around it in English are advocate, comforter, intercessor, helper. It's a word that's rich in authority and rich in hands-onness. We get this real picture that Jesus is saying to his followers, I'm going to send you a Holy Spirit, and he's going to really help you. He's really going to be hands-on. He's going to advocate for you. It was a strong word for him to use in the Greek. And actually, if we look at what the Bible says about what the Holy Spirit does, it's a powerful picture. He gives us understanding to what God has given us. He helps us discern the things of God. He convicts the world and us of our sin. He guides us into all truth. And he guides our lives. So those verses give a really clear picture that the Holy Spirit is hands-on, is helping us, and has a real role as a guide. And that's really the thing that I've been able to grab hold of in terms of who the Holy Spirit is. He's my guide. He's my everyday guide, even for the little things, and sometimes for the big things. Now, I know what some of you will be thinking. Some of you will be thinking, Dave, haven't you stood in this very same spot and said to us that the Bible should guide our lives? I swear I remember that. And if you're thinking that, well done for remembering a talk I gave about a year ago about the Bible guiding our lives. And yes, you would be absolutely right. I want to give you a picture of the Bible and the Holy Spirit together. This is me in, how old was I? 22-year-old me in Uganda. I went out to Uganda to do some short-term mission stuff, and I also decided I was going to go and hang out with mountain gorillas. Has anyone ever had the privilege of going to see mountain gorillas in the wild? It's amazing. If you get a chance to. They only live on the borders of Uganda, Rwanda, and around the Congo. So I went, I spent my last money that I had while I was out there, and I went trekking to go and find the gorillas. Now, when you arrive at the base camp, you get given a map. And the map sort of says, okay, here's where the last known point of the gorilla family is that you'll be tracking. And you go, okay, that's good. But they don't just give you a map, thankfully. They give you one of these, a guide. Well, actually, there's a lead guide and two guides. Now, the job of the guides is to help us go beyond where the map stops. So the map is going to tell me the gorillas were here yesterday, but the gorillas also moved on. So if I was clever, I could, without the guides, I could go and follow this path that's been trodden before and find where the gorillas were yesterday. But I need help from a guide to find where the gorillas have moved on to today. Is that making sense so far? So this guide basically gets to a point and then we go off-piste. I mean, he's hacking through thick, dense jungle. There is no path. There's nothing you'd want to walk on. It's just hacking through, and you just have to stay close enough to see where he's just gone and the path he's just cleared for you. And the picture I have, guys, is that the Bible is like our map. The Bible shows us so much about how to orientate our lives, where to go, what the focus is, what God's heart is for us, what his plans are for us. And also, there are times, actually, we really need a guide. The map can only get us so far. There are sometimes we're stuck in that situation in work. We're in a really tough, difficult relationship. We need the really specific, close handholding of the Holy Spirit. And that was what that guy did for us. We got to the point in the map, and he was like, okay, he started doing the whatever it was, you know, however they detect where the gorillas have gone to. And then I just had to stick really close with him and follow him. So I just want to leave that picture with you guys. If you're thinking, oh, I can just abandon the Bible and just talk to the Holy Spirit. No, actually, the Bible's a rich resource for guiding our lives. And the Holy Spirit is there to confirm, prompt us, pull things out of the Bible. They're really powerful when they work together. Okay, what else? I need to be more spiritual. Who's ever thought that? I need to be more spiritual. You know, you can think that even if you don't know Jesus, even if you don't call yourself a Christian, you can go, I've just got a feeling and I need to be more spiritual. The Holy Spirit isn't someone that we encounter further down our spiritual journey. The Holy Spirit is actually the start of our spiritual journey. I'd even go as far to say as we can't truly be spiritual without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our way into relationship with the Father. Jesus said it himself. Everyone must be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. It is the Spirit that lifts us and carries us over into that place where we go, yep, I know God. I'm a follower. I'm a believer. And actually, it's the Holy Spirit that even when we're on that road, you know, some of you guys might be feeling this. You're not in that place yet where you go, yes, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. But you feel some tug. You feel some pull, some prompting, some nudging. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's what David in the Psalms wrote about when he said, deep cries to deep. The Spirit that's within me cries to the Spirit of God. Deep crying to deep, being pulled, being tugged like the tide of a wave. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that we need to see the Holy Spirit, even in those times when we don't really know what it is, but we just sense we're being drawn. We're being drawn to something spiritual. That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so there are 101 and more other things that the Holy Spirit does in us, but we will leave you guys to discover those for yourselves. On to point number two, what does the Holy Spirit do through us? Again, there are lots of things, and I've just picked out three that spoke to my heart. So the first was really, really simple. I'm quite a simple person. So the Holy Spirit meets other people through me. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. So wherever I go, he goes. Whoever I meet, he meets. And the heart of River Church Maidenhead, and I'm sure that everyone could probably quote our mission statement with me, is to give everybody in Maidenhead relevant, tangible, and life-changing encounters with Jesus. And that is a really nice strap line. Sounds pretty good. I like it. And then I realise the only way that that is going to happen is through me. Gulp. So that's a challenge for me personally, just to even remember everywhere I go, I am carrying the presence of the living God with me into that situation, to that person. And I remember Bill Johnson came a while ago. He spoke at the Magnet. We had a conference. And I remember him saying this one thing that I've just never forgotten it. And he basically said, I owe everybody I meet an encounter with Jesus. And that really challenged me, because how often do I walk around with that attitude? So we need to remember the Holy Spirit gets to meet other people through us. And he also changes atmospheres. He changes environments through us, because I'm carrying the Holy Spirit wherever I go, whatever situation, whatever environment I find myself in. Because I'm there, the Holy Spirit is able to work and change that atmosphere. So sometimes I'm not even sure what's going on, but I can be sure that the Holy Spirit is working. And actually, he brings life and he brings peace and he brings light through each and every one of us every day. Sometimes without us even realizing it. The Bible calls us the light of the world. And when you take a light into a dark place, naturally that place is changed. But again, this happens more powerfully and more effectively if I'm actually aware that that's happening. And if I can partner and work with the Holy Spirit in that, it's going to happen to a greater extent. So I was remembering, I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. Big fantasy fan over here, a bit geeky. Me and Mark are both a bit geeky, aren't we, babe? So I remember in Lord of the Rings, Frodo gets given the light of Elendil, which is one of their stars, and the elf queen, totally forgotten her name, who gives it to him, she basically says to him, may this be a light for you in dark places where all other lights go out. But when Frodo finds himself in those dark places, he actually has to remember that he's got the light of Elendil with him and use it in order to make a difference. And it's the same with us. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit is with us and that he wants to change the environments we find ourselves in, and he wants to use us to do it. So the Holy Spirit changes atmospheres and environments. And he also, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to release the power and the presence of God the Father. So we talked about the fact the Holy Spirit is our connection point with God, and the fact that the Holy Spirit connects our heart with God's heart. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about the fact no one can know God's thoughts apart from God's own Spirit. And he says the Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. So the Holy Spirit helps us to see people and see situations with God's eyes and with God's heart, because naturally that's not something that I do. Jesus said when he's here on earth, I do what I see my Father doing. And that was because of his connection through the Holy Spirit that he was able to do that. And with all of these things, the more aware I am of them, the more that's going to happen. The whole way through my time at university, I was really struck by this verse in Galatians, Galatians 5, verse 25. And it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I just, you know, when you bandy a verse around in your mind and you're like, oh, what does that really mean? And how can I, it sounds really good in theory, but how can I really do that in practice? And actually, it wasn't until quite a few years later that the Holy Spirit gave me this really cool picture. I was having a sozo, which is like time encounter with God that you can book through the church. And then Jan and some other lovely ladies come and kind of really help you encounter God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. If you haven't had one, oh my goodness, I was freaked out to have one, but Kerry made us, and I'm so glad I had one. So if you're in that place, just book yourself one, because it's really good. So the Holy Spirit gave me this awesome picture of basically me bowling him like a bowling ball, but like a fireball, pretty much. So actually, when you're bowling, you can't just bowl in any lane. And there's like little arrows on the lane pointing how to bowl and how to make sure that you're hitting the skittles. And what the Holy Spirit really showed me is I had this feeling in my heart like he was a bit unpredictable, like the Holy Spirit was a bit unreliable, because sometimes I prayed and something happened, and other times I prayed and nothing happened, and there's no formula I could use. I didn't really figure it out. And what he said to me is, actually, I have a different agenda to you, Ruth. So when released into that situation you're praying for, because you're praying what's on the Father's heart, what he wants to see happen, not just what you in your own little kind of world think should happen. So yeah, there's no set formulas, there's no magic words, but I guess just working with the Holy Spirit like Jesus did, different for every different situation, and taking time to connect with him.
Okay, so we've gone in within, we've done through. What about around us? What does the Holy Spirit do around us? Now, who here knows that the Holy Spirit loves it when we come together? Yeah, some of you. It's good. The Holy Spirit is throwing a party, or he's waiting for the party to be thrown when we come together. He loves it. He loves it. Do you know? Oh, I haven't got the verse. All right. The Bible tells us that we together are being made into a holy temple in which the Spirit of God can dwell. Now, I know a lot of you will be thinking, yeah, I know this. I am a holy temple. My body is a temple. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Great. That's true. But the Bible says we, you together, so this is Paul writing to the church in Galatia, you together are being made into a temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. It's the point that Ruth made last week. If you wanted to know, if you wanted to find God's presence in the Old Testament, well, you went to the temple. And then if you wanted to find God's presence during the time of Jesus, you had to go and find Jesus, literally find him. And if you want to know where God's presence is now, it's the people of God. It's the people of God. And actually, part of that is when we all come together. The Holy Spirit is there. Now, I want to tell you a quick story. I'm not going to show you a picture because I don't want to embarrass myself. It was when I was 16. I have a limit. 22 was the limit. I'm not going to show you 16. I'm 16. I'm standing in a tent in a field at a Christian weekend, and I am petrified. Everyone's falling over. People are shaking. I don't really know what's going on. I'm standing there going, Lord, please, if there's any way you can just transport me from this place without me having to walk out, that would be amazing. The guy, the leader, I think it was a worship leader, comes up and says, I want everyone in this place falling over. Oh, oh dear. Please, please, please take me, Lord. Just take me, take me. It must have looked like I was in really serious prayer, but I was in really serious prayer to get out. I don't know if any of you have ever been in that situation. It was part of my journey, in one sense, of the Holy Spirit. But also, I want to share it to you, because actually, although that meeting wasn't great, and probably the leader should have been saying, you'll have to fall over, I've been on a journey where I understand that actually the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit in a meeting can be frightening and unsettling. And I've come to a place, actually, where I love being here with you guys, and I love it when the Holy Spirit shows up. And Ruth and I want to give a chance to pray over any of you later who feel like you're on that journey, or maybe you feel you're not 16, obviously, but maybe you feel a bit like I did when I was 16, standing in that field. Maybe there's been times here, even at church, when you go, just take me away. I don't really know what's going on. This is all a bit too much. And we want to give you a chance to be prayed for. And we hope that actually, by revealing more of who the Holy Spirit is and the character of the Holy Spirit over these talks, that actually you sort of know what you're getting a bit more.
So the Holy Spirit wants us all to experience him in that physical, practical way in meetings, because it is a really special time. But he wants us to experience him our way. And I'm just going to talk for a minute about aeroplane pilots. That probably seems a bit random. But Aeroplane pilots, I learned, every single one of them has to go through a certain test during their training time. And what this test is, it's a test where they gradually reduce the levels of oxygen that the pilot is sitting in a room, and they're gradually reducing the oxygen content. And the reason they do that is because when you're flying a plane, obviously having oxygen in the cabin and in the plane is pretty important. And if the oxygen systems fail, usually there's a warning sign that will go off and the pilot will know and he can go to the backup system. But if the system, which is meant to warn him that the oxygen's low, fails, then what do you do? That the pilot has to know how to what it feels like to experience low oxygen so that he can then do the right thing when he's in flight. And they basically found out that every single person has really different reactions to low oxygen. So for one person, it might be that their leg starts twitching. For another person, maybe their hair stand on end. So they get the pilots to sit there and they have to write down and make a record of all the different little physical signs that their body experiences that mean that there's low oxygen, because then obviously later, hopefully they'll prevent an accident, they'll recognize those signs and know what to do. And actually it's the same with us, with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us here in this room will have a physical reaction to the Holy Spirit's presence. But those reactions are really different and really varied. And they can be really big, quite extreme things, or they can be really small, subtle things. And for me, I used to be, like Dave, really quite freaked out about all the big things. You know, some people experience the Holy Spirit, maybe they laugh. And I'm sure that lots of us have experienced that happening in meetings. Maybe some people will be shaking. Other people might fall over. Other people might cry. When I was first a Christian, I think I cried in every single worship time for about 2 years. And that's for me, that when the Holy Spirit came, I just cried. So lots of people have different reactions. And it's really easy to think, like I used to, if you don't have one of those big extreme reactions, then actually you don't. I kind of thought, oh, I'm just not like that. I just don't really feel the Holy Spirit. And that's it. That's fine. And I kind of went in this weird place of like, seeing all these things, which I thought were a bit freaky, and thinking, actually, maybe I don't want to experience the Holy Spirit presence. I'm glad that I don't. But actually, as time's gone on, I've started to recognize really small, subtle things, which for me are what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. So one of them is I feel like a bit of a heaviness come. So sometimes if I'm holding my hands out, it will almost be like suddenly there's a weight in my hands, or my whole body, all my muscles just might suddenly feel a little bit heavy. Like if you've had a really hot bath and then you get out and you've got that kind of feeling of heaviness in your body, that sometimes happens for me. The other thing that happens is I get like a bit of a chill in the back of my neck. And it's only because when those things first happened, I didn't even, because I wasn't trained like the airline pilots, I didn't even recognize that's what was. And it was only when it started to happen fairly regularly, actually on the big year, in different meetings, I'd get these same feelings. And I suddenly thought, oh, maybe I feel like the Holy Spirit's here and this is happening again. So maybe that's what it is. So yeah, I just want to encourage you guys, I guess, really, actually don't discount yourself. You will experience the Holy Spirit when he's here, when he's present in a big gathering, in a big meeting. But the way that you experience him will be really individual for you. So I just encourage you, if you're one of those people who've been counting yourself and thinking, oh no, that's not for me, and I'm quite glad it's not, actually just start to be aware of what's happening to your body in those situations. Because it can be a really precious time when we're all together and the Holy Spirit comes. It's something that I've gone from being like Dave in a place of a bit of fear of, to actually now really enjoying and being something that I celebrate about being with my church family. So yeah, the Holy Spirit wants you to experience him in meetings, and don't be scared of it. Don't be pressured to fit in and maybe experience him the same way someone else does, but just be you. So
response time.
Yeah. I'd like to invite Beth up, and then we'll give her her chair back. thanks for the loan. And I'd also like to just invite the prayer team to come up as well. I just felt like it was significant. There's a couple of things that I felt like the Holy Spirit maybe wanted to do in people's hearts, or for people to respond to. And we can often just respond in our chairs and whatever, and that's fine. But I wanted to get these guys out the front and actually have a time when, if you want to respond to anything you've heard in the last couple of weeks, you can come up and actually get prayer from us up the front. So I want to make it really clear. so that you know what's going on. So me and Dave, when Beth starts playing, we'll be over this side of the room. And what we would really love to pray for people is if there's anybody who's in the same place or has been experiencing the sort of things we did through our journey with the Holy Spirit, of being in a little bit of a place of fear about the whole thing, maybe a bit uncomfortable with him or a bit uncomfortable with things of the Spirit, we would love to pray for you because, as I say, we've both really enjoyed that journey we've been taken on, where actually now we're in a place of freedom from that. So we want to pray for freedom from fear, especially related to the things of the Holy Spirit. And then in the middle here, we have the lovely Steve and Fiona. And they would like to pray for you if what I said about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit resonates with you. So if you feel like, actually, I just want to be a bit more aware that I'm carrying the Holy Spirit with me, and I want to see him released in this situation at work or with that person, I want to just remember when I'm with them and ask the Holy Spirit, come and use me, come and bring extra light into this person's life because of me. So these guys, if you want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit more, then please come and see these guys. And there's no pressure. The Bible talks about people laying hands on you and you receiving the gift of tongues. There's no pressure here and now. If you're in the place I was in, I would never, ever have wanted to speak in tongues in front of anyone. That's okay. Maybe when these guys are praying for you, if a syllable or a sound pops into your head and you feel like, oh yeah, what did we say? Just say that one and it will come out. Go for it. If you want to just come and get prayer and then later when you're on your own with God, go for it and have a try. When it's just you and him, then that's fine as well. So I'm going to... Oh, Dave, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, now, if you're thinking, I'm not sure I fit either of those camps, or maybe you're just going, I want to spend some time with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I want to come up for prayer. I just want to encourage you guys. The Bible says, if you know God, if you're giving your life to him, the Holy Spirit is within you. But it also says we need topping up. We need to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if you're sitting there going, I don't really know where to go with this, I just want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. The Bible's really clear. If we ask the Lord to fill us up with the Holy Spirit, he responds. He responds. It's just, it's simple. Might just be you just putting your hands out, just going, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. So we're going to go into a bit of time of worship. We do have some... technical. No, we have no technical problems. Big thumbs up from the guys.
That's
in the
good.
Back. Well done. that was almost seamless.
So, guys, if I can ask you to stand, and I find it helpful to just put my hands out maybe sometimes when I pray. So, if you feel comfortable to do that, then you can do that. And I'm just going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come and be with us for this last few minutes. So, Holy Spirit, we just want to say thank you that you're such an incredible person. I want to say thank you for all the amazing things that you do in our lives, some without us even realizing. We just want to say that we love you and we want to welcome you here. Just come and speak to our hearts if there's different little things for each one of us that you want to put your finger on, areas that you want to bring freedom and life, areas where you want to work with us more, areas you want to release us into things. And just come and speak to our hearts now, we pray. In Jesus' name. So guys, just as Beth starts playing, feel free to come up and have some prayer.